You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So as Kara already mentioned, did I do it again? No, I'm good. I'm there. I got a green light. Okay, good. So we are in this middle of this series called What is MC3 City? And it's a good question because MC3 City isn't really a real word. And so maybe you would go, well, what is MC3 City? I'm glad you asked. MC3 City is basically who we are as a church. We've been going through what are called our core values as a church over the month of September and October, the things that kind of define us. We talked the very first week about our C3 process. It's on the wall in the lobby as well. It's who we are. It's what we do. Community, congregation, caring. Those three things, that's what Carla was talking about in her video. And our core values are kind of the guide rails that keep us along that path. And we kind of use them to define what we do and why we do, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's what we're going to be going through today. And I'm going to give you guys 10 to 15 minutes. I've got a clock here because we're going to spend most of the time for why you really want to be here, and that's to listen to our missions teams. And it feels like there's a wall here between us. That is not normal. But they're going to be sharing for the bulk of the morning, and that's why we've got your kids in here too, because it's a great opportunity to hear some of the stories of what God has done while we were serving in Oaxaca. But before we get into that, you're going to be stuck with me for 10 minutes talking about one of our core values. And before we get into that, or as we get into that, I want to do something this morning, and I want to be very clear. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you feel like it's going to impair your health or safety, please do not do it, okay? So if you happen to pass out, we do have nurses in the room, but they're not prepped for this. So do not, if like you're going to pass out, stop. This is not worth it. But what I want to talk about this morning is holding your breath, okay? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to see, again, this is not, well, I mean, I guess it's a contest, but don't win, because winning could eventually lead to your future demise, depending on how much of a winner you are. But what we're going to do is I'm going to have all of you, if you know, raise your hand. You're going to put your hand in the air. Kids, too, everybody. Not, I mean, you can do that in a second. Like, yeah. And everybody that raised their hands, you're going to wash and wax my car. No. What I'm going to have to do, put your hand in the air, and I'm going to count to three. And then we're going to hold our breath. Okay, and there's going to be a countdown on the screen. And what I want you to do is when you can't hold your breath any longer, you're just going to put your hand down and kind of track where it is, how many seconds it was, okay? Please, again, do not pass out. I was going to have you stand up to do this, and I'm like, no, that would really be a train wreck. But hey, you know, we want to be different. And, oh, is that the church that makes everyone pass out? Yes, that's us. So that's what we're going to do. You understand? So I'm going to count to three, and then Kara is going to turn on a countdown timer on the screen. Everybody put their hands up, and then when you can't do it, you put your hand down, and we'll just see how long you go. Does that make sense? And you're not going to cheat. Like, we're not going to be, like, putting a mirror under your nose to make sure you're, you know, you just do it the way you can. You with me? Yes? All right. So actually, why don't we go ahead and turn on the house lights here so we can see everyone. And go ahead. So put your hand up first. All right. And then I'm going to count to three, and then you will hold your breath. And when I get to I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1. And when I get to one, you're going to turn on that thing on the screen. With me? All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1. You know what? I'm going to be teaching, so I'm not going to keep doing this because I don't want to fall over. But as soon as you can't hold your breath any longer, just put your hand down. All right, we got some hands going. That's 20 seconds now. All right, I got a hand going down. I got people dropping. Good, good. I'm going to make you laugh. I only have a 60-second countdown, so if you can go beyond 60 seconds, I'll be impressed. We're at 40 seconds. And no one's going to remember a thing I say after this because you have the all hypoxic or whatever that's called. 50 seconds. 55 seconds. All right, well, all right, yeah, hey, good job. That was in the, put your hand down. Stop, breathe, 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 breathe. especially Kirk, you have to come up here. Some of you guys need to come up here. So, all right. I thought you just went down. He was picking up his coffee. We're okay. So that was 60 seconds. I think there were maybe 12 people, and who knows how long you could have gone after that for a while. And I know many of you didn't even make the 60 seconds. I don't know if I would have made it to 60 seconds. But that's a long time, and it seemed like a long time. I mean, let's be honest. Did you have a second minute in you? Any of you that still had your hand up? You had a second minute in you? Okay. Oh, she did. Okay, whatever. Some people's kids, they just, you know. But here's an interesting fact. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the average Navy SEAL can hold their breath around 2 to 3 minutes. But then with training, they can hold their breath for 5 minutes. That's what their a Navy SEAL is, to be holding their breath for about 5 minutes. That's their kind of their pattern, what is expected of them. And 5 minutes is a long time, right? Would you agree? And so there's actually a lot of science behind this that says, you know, what you think you can do actually isn't your limit. You can always go a little bit more. There's always something you can do to increase your breath control. And, you know, right now you're just in a room and all you have to do is breathe. But, like, if you were underwater in some sort of a training exercise, you definitely would be in this, like, I can't hold it any longer. Well, actually, you can. But, again, looking at about 5 minutes. But just for interesting facts, they started tracking world records for holding your breath. And this is called, I forget, the official Guinness World Record says, for voluntary breath holding, not holding someone under the water, voluntary breath holding. And in 1959, the first recorded was in the USA by a guy named Robert Foster. 1959, 13 minutes, 42.5 seconds. So then they were like, oh, there's world records. Well, apparently this got exciting in the 2000s because the next record was in 2006. And a guy from Germany went 14 minutes, 12 seconds. Then that same guy bested his record, went 14:25. Then he bested his record again and went 15:02, 15 minutes, 2 seconds. And then again went 15:16 seconds, 15 minutes, 16 seconds. Then, and you guys might remember this, I guess a guy from Switzerland went 16 minutes, 32 seconds. And then back in 2008, David Blaine, the magician, did like this underwater thing. And he broke the record at 17 minutes, 4.4 seconds. And then this guy from Germany again came back. Tom Sietas was his name. It's probably not Sietas because he's from Germany, so it's probably different from that. But anyway, 17 minutes, 19 seconds. Then bested it again at 17:33. Then a guy from Italy in 2009 went to 19 minutes, 2 seconds. Then in 2010, a guy from Denmark went 20 minutes, 10 seconds. Then that went to 20 minutes, 21 seconds. And then in March 2021, Budimir Srbat from Croatia, he set the record, get this, 24 minutes, 37 seconds. 24 minutes, 37 seconds. That's a little bit longer than we managed in here. But the point is that it's scientifically and with training, you can actually increase your breath threshold. I don't know. That's probably what you call it. It is what you call it now. That's scientific. But you can always go one more. And this morning, we're going to talk about one of our core values. And the core value is outrageous generosity. And we're going to talk about this idea of going one more. And the point for this morning is that MC3city is outrageous generosity. We're crazy givers. And this is one of our values. And, of course, this is the short version. We're crazy givers. That's a short summary. Here is the official core value as it reads on our website. It says, outrageous generosity. Next slide. God gave us his son, Jesus, when we least deserved it. And we want to have the same attitude. We value giving lavishly to others, even when it doesn't always make sense. We want to be outrageous givers. We want to give beyond what makes sense. And there's this really cool passage in 2 Corinthians, and you probably, if you grew up in church, maybe you've read this passage. It's kind of obscure. If you've never grown up in church, you don't have any church background, that's cool. We're going to have it on the screen for you. But in 2 Corinthians 8, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you have a paper Bible, the lights are on. But you can go to the YouVersion app. 2 Corinthians is near the end. And we're going to be in chapter 8. And I want to talk about this idea of going one more. And again, I'm going to make it brief here. But going one more, like this idea of when it comes to giving And I don't mean, and we're talking in a lot of ways. We're talking about giving as far as the offering, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. We're talking about giving as far as needs of the for the people around us. We're talking about giving as far as Oaxaca, Trigo y Miel, our missions partner in Oaxaca, Mexico. So giving is kind of this whole package, but we kind of have this mentality of like, yeah, I can do this much. And I want to challenge you, and I know you're like, oh, this is the day they invite everybody to come, and then the pastor talks about money. That's how it is, huh? Like, yeah, that's how it is, because it's in the Bible. But it's also because I want to challenge us to go further. I want to challenge us to say, what more can we give? Because we often limit ourselves. And there's this really cool passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And what's happening here is Paul wrote this letter to a church that he planted in Corinth. It's the second letter he wrote to this church. The first letter was 1 Corinthians. And he wrote to this church he planted in Corinth. And Corinth is basically on the southern tip of what we now know as Greece. And in this little obscure part in chapter 8, he shares about this church in Macedonia, which is a few miles north of Corinth. Macedonia is north of where Corinth is. And he's just sharing this little blurb about their generosity. And there's three things that I want to pull out of this real quick here before we move on. The first thing is that the Macedonian church, they gave despite their difficulty. They gave despite their difficulty. And again, a lot of times we're like, oh, hey, can you help out? Okay, there's this need. And we're really good. We're really good at being like, oh, no, I'm just in a rough spot right now. I can't do that. Sorry, man. It's not good. Things are tough. Things are hard. And this is what Paul says to the church at Corinth, because he's challenging them with the church from Macedonia. He says, now I want you to know, verses 1 to 2 in 2 Corinthians 8. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. He says, I want you to be aware of this church. You guys are aware of Macedonia, right? It's north of you guys. You know where that is? And they're like, yeah, we get that. Well, I want you to know what's going on. He says, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. And this was written in Greek. That was the language that everyone spoke at the time. And he wrote this letter to them in Greek. And this word, tested by troubles, is a phrase. And the root of this word means to squeeze. It means to squeeze. It means that to have a hard, to just go through a really difficult time. Kind of the idea of like an anaconda, a constrictor snake. Like this idea of squeezing. And it says they were being squeezed. Things were rough. And they are very poor. But then he says, but they are also filled with abundant joy. Okay, so they're happy. Like, yeah, all right, this is rough right now, but I'm happy. And then he says, which has overflowed in rich generosity. And so here's this church and they said that they were being persecuted. There was a lot of persecution going on at this time. The church in Macedonia was not in a good place. Like they were just being beaten on all sides. They were really poor. They were just in trouble. It was a huge struggle. And yet their joy overflowed in rich generosity. So despite their circumstances, they were able to give. And it was generous giving. It wasn't like, yeah, I don't know, I got a spare dollar here. It was generous giving. And so, again, looking at us, are we willing to go, you know what? It doesn't matter what my circumstances are right now. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter where I am physically. It doesn't matter where I am with my job situation. If God wants me to give, and we'll get to that in a second, if God wants me to give, I can do it. Because he's going to provide. And we need to have that Macedonian church attitude that says, you know what, I'm not going to complain about my circumstances or use them as an excuse. Because let's be honest, that's what it is. It's nice to be able to go like, yeah, you know what, it's Goose Day week. Sorry, can't give. You know how that is. And people are like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, hey, you know, Goose Day. And then people will be like, oh, I guess so. But like, it's an excuse to not actually give. And the church in Macedonia, they said, they were like, you know what? It doesn't even matter what we're going through right now, because it's overflowing. What God has done in us is overflowing in rich generosity. They were giving. They gave despite their difficulty. The second thing we see here is that the church in Macedonia gave despite their ability. And so here we've got this thing where we often are like, you know what? Yeah, things are going pretty well. But, you know, I looked at my spreadsheet and I don't have anything left to give. I'm sorry. Maybe next month, you know, we'll work that out. And I do have to have that full cell phone package, full sports package, full every streaming package. Because, you have to have those things. So sorry, I just I just don't have the ability to give. And the church in Macedonia, they didn't let that limit them either. Not that they had a full sports package. They only had a couple other packages for streaming services back then. He goes on in verse 3 to 4 and says, "For I can testify." This is Paul talking. He says, "Testify. Like, I just want you to be aware, Corinthians. I know what they went through. This is first-person account. I can testify. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more." And again, and they did it out of their own free will. And then he says, not only do they say this is what we can afford, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It's not about the dollars and cents. It's not about balancing the checkbook. It's about saying, God, if you want me to give, I'm going to give because I'm trusting you to come through. And we'll get to that in a second, like I said. But they said, we're going to give beyond how it works out on paper. We're going to go beyond the math. And that's one of the things, even with this team, like we reserve, where's Chris? We reserved 20 spots for this team, not even having a clue. And then we looked at 20 spots times this many flights and this many team fees. It was a huge number. And God completely provided it. Spoiler alert. God completely provided. And it was like, you know what? If we went with what we could afford, I can guarantee you, and I think Justin, as our treasurer, would agree, if we went with what we could afford, we might have been a team of two. Maybe. Like, that's what we could afford. And watching God come through and provide. And so he says, not only did they give what they could afford, but far more. They did it of their own free will. Then they said, they begged us again and again for the privilege of giving, of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. The Corinthian church said to Paul, please allow us to give more. Can we give more? We can't afford it, but we want to give it. We want to do it. And so how often do we go, yeah, sorry, it's not going to work right now. It's a little tight, or I did the budget for the year, and it's just not going to fit right now. And I just want to challenge you and us, like, don't let our ability, what we can afford, limit what God can do through you, what God can do through us. So they gave beyond their ability, and despite their ability. And then finally, they gave due to their disciplicity. Now, if you've been here for this series, we actually talk about disciplicity, which is another made-up word, on the second week of this series. But the idea of disciplicity, discipleship says, you know what, I'm not just knowing about Jesus, I'm actually doing what Jesus did. I'm following Jesus. Paul talked about this church, and he says, and the reason they did all this wasn't out of guilt. It wasn't out of duty. It wasn't out of obligation. He said duty. It wasn't out of any of that. It was out of saying, okay, what does God want me to do? And that's what he says in verse 5. He says, they even did more than we had hoped for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. And the NIV says, in accordance with God's will. And so this idea said that their first priority wasn't giving. Their first priority was their relationship with Jesus. And they wanted to devote themselves to Jesus. They wanted to become more like Jesus and live like Jesus. And when they were doing that, out of that came this desire to say, yeah, I'm going to give. Oh, I know we're in a rough spot. It doesn't matter. God's going to come through for me. Oh, I'm going to give. I know it doesn't line up. It doesn't matter. God's going to provide because he's always the one that provides everything that we have anyway. And so it started with their relationship with Jesus. And so for us, I think we need to, you know, think about the Macedonian church and say, okay, where is your relationship with Jesus? Before you start talking about giving, and if you're giving out of guilt, Paul talks about that in another point in one of his letters. He said, don't give out of guilt. Don't do that. God doesn't want that. Giving is an opportunity to worship. And when we give, and it's beyond, we go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? How much should I give? How should I put towards this? The Bible talks, Paul talks about being outrageously generous, giving beyond what you can afford, and letting God determine what you give. And then he provides. And when we put something, if you put something in our fancy offering bucket, that is not designed as like, okay, it's time to pay my church bill. It's time to keep Sean in, you know, so his family still has clothes. Like, our giving should be, God, you know what? Everything that I have is from you. Everything that I have is from you. And when I'm putting this in the offering bucket or paying it online or whatever that looks like, this is me saying, God, I'm giving it to you and trusting that you're going to provide. Even though I could really use that money, I'm trusting you to provide, as you already have, to continue to provide for my needs. And again, that's this idea of being outrageous, going beyond what makes sense. And if there's a need going, yeah, you know what, I can't really afford that, but you know what, why don't we give $100 because that person does need a new washing machine. And I personally have watched God provide over and over and over. And you heard Carla's story this morning about God providing in ways you never expect, and because we need to continue to go one more. We think we can't go anymore. We're like, I can only do 45 seconds. No, you can actually do way more than that. I don't know if you can do 24 minutes, but you can definitely go beyond 45 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes. And so that was what the Macedonian church is. They gave despite their difficulty. They gave despite their ability. They gave due to their disciplicity. And that's one of our core values. MC3 City is outrageous generosity. We're crazy givers. And I'm not saying that in an arrogant way, like, oh, look at us, we're really good at giving. Paul says also, Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Like, it's about being secret. But saying, you know what, if there's a need, I'm going to meet that need. It doesn't make sense on paper. I might be in a rough spot now, but that's okay because I'm following Jesus first, and this is what I'm supposed to do. This is where I'm supposed to go. This is how I'm supposed to give. We did two series about giving more specifically. One was called Funds. One was called Offer. Those are on the slide loop before and after the worship experience. You can check that out for more details. And then I'm going to ask right now, if you guys, the MC3 Missions team, if you would come up onto the stage, find a seat. We did a series also just as a plug here. We did a series called Inside MC3 a number of years back, and that's also on the loop. And in that series, we talked about MC3 missions and what MC3 missions is all about.